Amen, amen. Let us open the Bible in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. We are going through Colossians, and the goal of Colossians is to give us the right understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Remember, if we ask outside, Jesus Christ is just a fairy tale. Jesus Christ is just a good man. Jesus Christ is just a good teacher. But if you ask in the church, Jesus Christ is the Lord, the Savior, the Creator, God Himself, our righteousness, so on and so forth. So Colossians is teaching us who Jesus Christ is. And the title of this section, chapter 3, is Christ is all in all. Let us repeat, everybody. Christ is all in all. Why? Because last week we saw false teaching. And what is false teaching? Christ was not enough. Remember that? Legalism, Christ was not enough. You need things to sanctify you. False teaching. Syncretism, Christ is not enough. Because what? Syncretism mixes everything. You are a Christian, now you mix yourself with Muslims and you mix yourself with Hinduism, and you mix yourself with everything, and then you get nothing. False teaching. And the last false teaching, asceticism. Christ is not enough. I am enough. I look at the mirror, and I sing what? How great me are. That's the song. Because why? Our sanctification became a matter of discipline. If I attend the church, I'm holy. If I am sick and I can't attend church, I lost my holiness. That's what? False teaching. So now the response for false teaching is Christ is all in all. Okay? So let us read from verse 1 to verse 11. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. The last verse entitles the whole sermon. Let us read verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above. And let us read verse 10. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. These are the three main ideas of this sermon. Put your minds and hearts on the things that are above. Christ is all in all. There is not one aspect of your life that it's not holy, that it's not meaning, that it's like just entertainment, just killing time, just going through life. Christ is all in all. And thirdly, we have a goal. In the world, what's the goal? Make money and be successful. In the church, what's the goal? To become like Christ. Cost what it costs. You do the life you need to do, but what is your goal? I want to look like Christ. Isn't that the best compliment a Christian can ever receive? You look like Jesus Christ. You sound like Jesus Christ. You act like Jesus Christ. That's the three main points of this sermon. The whole idea hangs upon this. So now, let us see our first point. Because if you understand the first point, you understand the rest. If you miss the first point, we can close this up in the first point. If you are hungry, you're going to miss in purpose. But if you're not hungry, you want to understand it, so we keep going. Is that clear? Are we all in the same page? Okay. Christ is our eyes. Now give me your eyes now here. What do we have here? What do we have here? Every good psychologist, Julia is becoming a counselor, so she's going to do that to you when you go to her. Look. What do we have here? Half empty or half full? Half what? Either way, half empty. Who is half empty, team? Raise your hand. Who is half full? And who is either way? Me and Leo. Every good psychologist is going to tell you this. The glass can be half full or half empty. And that changes everything. Because if you're a half full person, you are positive. If you're a half empty, you are what? A negative person. But here is the deal. How this glass was before. Now I am doing what to it? So it's half full. Because my goal is what? How about this? Is this half full? The bottle here is half empty. Because what am I doing? I'm emptying it. You see that it's not... The world thinks that everything is relative. This is blue, it's green, it's red, it's relative. No. Even this analogy, there is what? The bottle is half empty because I'm emptying it. The glass is half full because I'm making it full. Gustavo, what does that have to do with the sermon? Ask me that and I answer to you. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things that are above. There is only one way to see this glass half full because I'm making it full. There is only one way you live life if you set your minds in Jesus Christ. There are Christians that live their lives. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But I just do my life. Yeah, that's it. Life go. Raise my kids. Do my family, this, and that's it. Life is good, period. That's not the way we are called to live our lives. Our lives must be what? Set your hearts in Jesus Christ. There is more to life than just living life. It is living life with purpose, meaning, and with your hearts in Jesus Christ. Practically speaking, look at how this changes our lives. Canadians, see sketchy person on the street, the next thing you do, you avoid eye contact. Oh, that person is sketchy. And you walk your way. And you're going to cross with the sketchy person. Let us say the sketchy person is my brother, because I can't say that. The max you're going to do, it's a little bit out, and you avoid eye contact. If you're a Brazilian like me, and you see a sketchy person, what do? You turn. And you run very, very fast. Same situation, two different actions. Because I am Brazilian. Christ is the eye, Brazilian eye. I see the world and I see sketch people and I see danger. So I act. Okay? Young guy, new car, brand new car. One person look at him and claims, oh, rich guy. A guy who has been broke and have financed a car before, he look at the pretty boy and say, he is broke. Same situation, two different statements. Because what? I see the world differently. I'm Brazilian, young, and I don't like to cook. There is leftover foods, what I see? Lunch tomorrow. Canadian man, raised on a wealthy family, who eats to the heart's content and throw everything to the garbage. Later he sees leftover, he says what? It's garbage. And I see? Lunch tomorrow. Do you understand where Paul is taking you to? We can be all in the same church. We can have the same doctrines. We can have the same beliefs. But if this, it's not set on Jesus Christ, you're going to live life just like a secular person. Saved, blessed, great, no problem. But you're going to live a life just like any other person. Paul is calling you to what? Set your hearts in Jesus Christ. Is that clear? Okay, so I'm not going to waste too much time. We all understood. Only one illustration, the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. We see pain. We see suffering. We see defeat. That's the regular mind. But Jesus Christ had his mind on things that are above. So he looks at the cross and what he sees? Eternity, salvation, victory, glory. Is that clear? And believe it or not, that's what Paul is using here. See verse 1, he uses the word raised. Verse 3, he uses the word death. He uses the word life. He's saying that Jesus died, raised, and is alive, and therefore you died, you were raised, and you now are alive. And that's the reason you should have your minds on the things that are above. Because when Jesus saw death, he saw resurrection and life. When you see the world around you, you should see the world in a heart that has already died for yourself, has already died for this meaningless life, but already have raised for meaningful life, in a life that it's full of the life of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? key point number two. Christ is our hands. If it's only here, there is no point. If all we do is only theory, there is no point. Me and this young good-looking man called Eagle were in Wonderland yesterday. And we had a great, great time. And you realize that your head hurts when you become older and it's, you know, downs and ups and downs and rights and sides. But here, listen to me. Christianity that it's only intellectual is just like going to the Wonderland and never going to the roller coasters. It's boring. You're there. You see people screaming. You see people having fun. And you're not on the roller coaster. It's just like Christianity without actions. You gotta have actions. You gotta do the whole thing. Not only theory. The way I think must produce action. And I love the quotation of C.S. Lewis. Who knows C.S. Lewis? Everybody knows C.S. Lewis, right? The English man, writer, very, very good man. He says this, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. Everything that you do that it's not eternal, it's useless because it vanishes. But everything that you do that it's eternal waits for eternity, has eternal reward. It's going to bless you forever. So now Paul, he's bringing us to practical Christianity, and he's going to tell you two things you should do. One, love yourself. The other, love the others. Gustavo, where are you seeing this? Verse 5. Verse 5, it's love yourself. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming. This is self-love, when you put those things to death. The person who is sexually immoral, and nowadays it's normal. Kids, 14, 15, 16 years old, they already have a sexual life, many, many partners. When that happens, pay attention, you become vulnerable to many different people. You give yourself to many different people, and none of those love you. None of those marry you. None of those bring you to home into a covenant and have a relationship with you that it's biblical, that it's the marriage relationship. So that person self-harm. They became vulnerable to people that were just using them. Same thing with greedy. You become a millionaire. Not enough. I need to have 2 million. I need to have 5 million. I need to have 10 million. I need to have one house. I need to have the second. I need to have the third. And you live your life without contentment. What are you doing to your life? Self-harm. Paul is saying what? Put to death those things, or else those things, what they're going to do to you? They're going to put you to death. Make sense? Paul is talking, remember, mindset in Jesus Christ. He's talking way more about the act. He's talking about the spiritual principle. If you are greedy, you're never going to be satisfied. If you are generous, that means you are so satisfied, You are so content that you are able even to give. You are overflowing, and therefore you give. If you have sexual intimacy in the bounds of marriage, you are protected. You are having sexual relationship with a person who truly loves you, who truly is committed to you. You're not being vulnerable to a stranger. You're not being defied in your heart. You are protected. Paul is saying, put to death those things in order that those things don't put you to death. Being a Christian means I love myself enough to deal with sexuality and to deal with money into the God's perspective, in the right way, in purity, because my mind is on the things that are above. Are we clear? Yeah? But then Paul says the things that harm the others. Verse 8. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. When I lie to someone else, when I anger to someone else, I am hurting someone else. The someone else deserves the truth. Someone else deserves patience. Someone else deserves a controlled Gustavo, a self-controlled Gustavo. But when I anger, malice, lie to the other, I am harming the other. I am not loving the other. And Paul uses not the word put to death. He uses the word rid. Rid yourself of such a practice. Otherwise, such a practice is going to rid people from your life. Now, nobody wants to be my friend. Guess why? Because I'm always angry. Now, nobody wants to be my friend. Why? Because I'm lying. Now, nobody wants to be my friend because I'm not self-controlled and trustworthy. Therefore, rid yourselves from those things in order that those practices don't rid relationships out of your life. Being Christian means you're going to love yourself, putting things to death, and you're going to love others, putting things, ridding your life from things that take people out of your life. Does that make sense? But this is the mindset of Christ. Because you were born, I was born, believing that Christianity was only about praying, church attendance, and reading the Bible. But Paul is calling you to understand that Christianity is Christ, is all in all. Therefore, let us put some things to death in our life. Therefore, let us rid some things from our lives in order that our lives are protected, blessed by Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Jesus says this: wisdom is proved by the disciples. James says that your faith is proved by your fruits. And the book of Proverbs shows us that wisdom is proved by actions. Jesus, Paul here is teaching us, think right and your actions are going to be right. Think wrong and your actions are going to be wrong. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, because from your heart flows the streams of life. Everything you do comes first in the heart, but then becomes your action. I'm hungry, then I eat. I'm thinking about Big Mac, then I go to McDonald's. First I think, and then I act. Set your minds on things that are above, in your actions, all your actions. The way you deal with money, the way you deal in house, the way you deal with your partner, everything is going to be filled and filled with Jesus Christ. Amen? Last one, Christ is all in all, therefore Christ is our social life. Let us repeat the first word together, here. Okay, let us think we are in the wonderland and we are on the top of the roller coaster. And you're about to scream. One, two, three, here. Okay, good. Yes. I need to take everybody to the wonderland. Let's go. So, here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Christ is our social life. You need to agree with me. You need to agree with me. You may be good as a husband, as a wife. You may be good worker. You may be good with money. But if your social life is terrible, it's terrible, right? It's terrible. Social life. We do so many things and we don't even know because it's socially correct. And we don't do other things because it's socially inappropriate. Every time. We can't escape social life. You know those people, young kids, who stay the whole day in the internet and you just need to feed them and they're going to be there from age 2 until age 100, even then, they need to go and socialize. Some point in life, they're going to need to be with other people. Therefore, they need social IQ. Christ is our social life. If everybody needs to socialize, Christ wants to be involved in that. Theologically speaking, in the Old Testament, God is the God of the Jews. In the New Testament, God is the God of the Gentiles. In the Old Testament, people come to Jerusalem. People come to the temple to worship the God of Israel. Now, the God of Israel, he's going to the nations so people can worship him. That's very clear in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, everybody came to Jerusalem. And then the Holy Spirit shows up. Acts chapter 10 onward, the disciples go to the nations to bless the nations with the God of Israel. Do we all see that? So now Paul is saying, here, there is no Jew nor Gentile. He's breaking some things. He's adjusting some things. First thing, there is no space for racism. And we're not talking about a church that it's Dutch, and then there is a Brazilian pastor, and then there is an American deacon. No, that's very shallow, superficial. He's talking about real racism that happened on the time. Jews did not agree or get along with Gentiles. Barbarians were the sketchy people. Remember I told you about sketchy people? Barbarians were them. And Paul is saying, here, there is not such a thing. Here, we are all brothers and sisters. Here, we all going to learn how to relate to each other. Here we're going to learn higher standards. And we think we are protected out of that because we are in Canada. Slavery abolished, So much has changed already. Who has ever heard about John Piper? You know the preacher John Piper? John Piper, very good preacher. Very, very amazing. And he is the senior pastor of his congregation. And he don't want a raise of salary. He is okay with his salary. And the board came to him, you gotta raise your salary. And he said, no, I'm okay. You have to. No, I'm okay. And he asked, why? Why do I need to raise my salary? Because you are the senior pastor. And if your salary is not raised, the assistant pastor we cannot raise. We cannot give the assistant pastor the same salary as you. Or we cannot give the assistant pastor a salary that is above yours. And he said, I didn't know the church became corporate America. Give the raise to the guy. I don't need to bother. He can have a salary better than mine. I don't even care about his salary. I'm fine with mine. This is too much American. This is too much. No offense, Tricia. This is too much business coming to church. What is John Piper teaching us? Here, there is no such a thing. Here is the place where the CEO is the deacon and the intern, the student, who is underpaid and do a lot and never gets paid, gets a pizza for payment. He served with dignity by the CEO. Because here we are on a higher standard. The culture of the church is a different culture. There is no space for this such a division like that. Also, what does that mean? There is no space for denominational fights. My denomination is right. The other is wrong. There is no space for that. Here, there is no Reformed, no Pentecostal, no Baptist, but Christ is what? Christ is all in all. And finally, what does that mean? Here, there is no space for such a thing called my church. Me, 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 me. My vision, my this, my that. You want to know an interesting number in Brazil? Every single day, there is a church, or even more, that opens. Every single day. And we, when we saw the reality of Canada, we say, praise the Lord. Because here we are challenging with church closures. We want the reality of Brazil. But that number is deceiving. If many, many churches open, that means that the churches cannot get along. That means that people are not okay to submitting to others. That means that people are not okay to being part of the church. They want to be the guy. They want to be the girl. They want to be my vision, my thing, my this, my that. And therefore, instead of uniting themselves, you create a little billions of small churches. What is Paul saying? Here, there is no space for that. I'm Jew, therefore my church is going to be Jew. I'm Gentile, therefore my church is going to be Gentile. If necessary, I'm going to open thousands of churches. No, 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 no. Here, there is no space for that. That's what Paul is teaching us. The gospel must transform our social life. The gospel must transform the way we do church. The gospel must touch our church culture. Amen? So it all starts where? How you see the world. And Christ can be just a religious thing, which is legalism, or Christ can literally be all in your life. Why do you work the job you work? Because I live for Christ. Why do you keep your marriage? Because of Christ. Why do you raise your children the way you raise? Because of Christ. Every aspect of life, Christ is all in all. As a pastor, I don't want for my life and I don't want for my congregation is that people have the understanding that Christ is my Savior, full stop. And that's it. I do my life, I call the shots, I choose my career, I do whatever I do, it's me. And Christ, it's only here, my spiritual disciplines, my spiritual practice. That's a very, very sad life to live as a Christian. What is the good life to live as a Christian? Christ is all in all. He's filling the cup, and we want him to fill this cup, which is our lives, to the overflow. Until we lose control, because the Bible is mandating every aspect of our lives. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, help us to put this to practice, Lord, that you are all in all. May every inch of our lives be completely subject, obedient to your word, Lord. Help us to understand your word so that we may apply your word with joy and contentment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.